The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The dominion of God is as if one would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. The sower does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once the sower goes with a sickle because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the dominion of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it, and did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please join me in the word of prayer. God of mercy and God of grace, we thank you that you are a God who is big enough to take in our work and to use it, big enough to work while we are asleep, big enough for all people to be welcome in your kingdom, big enough to overcome our sin, big enough to use our love. Lord, we thank you and we look forward to the day that when your harvest comes in, may your glory, you will bless us in your glory. Amen. A very good morning to you all. Today, I want to start with a story that I shared with Pastor Kathleen sometime when we were driving to Worcester about a couple of weeks ago. And I told her that I once lived in Minnesota, and there's a church which was almost at the point of dying. And there was an ordained, retired Lutheran pastor, female, elderly, and was assigned to go to this church, just to go and help the few congregants, few members who were left at this church in Minneapolis, so that this church can close down. So she went there just to, you know, sometimes pray and help the few people, 5-6 of them who have remained in this church so that this church can be closed, right? So 1 month, 2nd month, 3rd month, there were some little children in this nearby. She started to play with those kids in the streets. As she visited the church every morning, every day, she would gather some kids to play with the kids around the church. And this community is largely with the Hmong community. And the parents of the Hmong community saw this wonderful elder pastor playing with their kids. They also got the interest just to come with their kids. One step outside the church, but the next day, one church towards the steps of the church. At the end of the 6 months, This church had a membership of more than 95 people. What an amazing work of the Holy Spirit. A church that was dying now is one of the biggest church in Minneapolis. She went to close the church. She played the kids. I think she was just playing with the kids. She just didn't know what will happen 6 months later. And now is one of the biggest church. A dying church, now one of the biggest church. What do I mean with this story this morning? This is the kingdom of God, a mystery which bears a harvest, and we do not know how. It's a mystery. Seeds are planted, sometimes even in ugly, desolate places. Seeds are planted, and somehow, I don't know how, sometimes life emerges from those seeds. They sprout twigs and flowers and leaves and branches. But today, these seeds, the seedlings and the saplings are bursting with life. They are a reminder that even when things seem dead, when hope seems pointless in deep places we cannot see or know, life is stirring, moving, and growing. Whether we understand it or not, the life in those seeds will burst forth in undeniable and incontrovertible ways. But let me give this story into perspective. A first century religious authorities might have thought that the kingdom of God had to do with the re-establishment of God's Messiah on the throne of Israel. But the way that would have been understood came with certain expectations and longing that would have dictated how it would happen. So the Messiah comes, gathers an army, defeats the Israel's enemies, and the rules of the kingdom of David, from David's city and the throne once again. This was the expectation, but things were different. Now we see the seed, the mustard seed. The mustard seed plant does not rise so high that it may topple and fall. It remains lowly, like a king who enters a city humble and riding on a donkey, who comes not to be saved, but to save, and who humbles himself to take the form of a servant. The kingdom of God is great in its humility and in its lawlessness, in its weakness. It stoops to wash the feet. It kneels by wounded strangers on the side of the road. It is lifted up, not only on the shoulders of the servants, but on the cross where all creation is reconciled to God. And we need to understand the original followers of Jesus, where in the eyes of the culture are all pretty much losers, lowly fishermen, despised tax collectors, prostitutes, and criminals, low lives lost by the religious establishment. Maybe that's the way of the followers of Jesus have always looked to the rest of the world. Those people desperate enough, lowly enough to find hope in Jesus' message of the kingdom. But let's look into this shrub. Let me show you. I've got a nice plant here with me. And I know most of you have got flowers, plants, gardens, and so forth. Have you ever imagined that when you plant that small seed in the ground, a life will come out? And let alone when you plant it, you don't even know what is the chemistry that is happening under the ground. It remains but a mystery, but at the end of the day, we'll be able to have vegetables and other produces and fruits out of one single seed. Out of one single seed, there's multiple of products or produces from one single seed. Take, for example, a corn. One single seed will produce other hundreds or more than 100 seeds of the corn on one cob. That's the mystery of the kingdom that we see today. So, my dear friends, the lowly shrub is big enough for the birds of every kind to find a home. Jew and Gentile, male and female, black and white, gay and straight, rich and poor, introvert and extrovert, all. The kingdom of Jesus, he proclaims here, has room for everybody, you and me today. And what we see in this passage is a whole emphasis that the hiddenness and the smallness of the quiet beginnings of the kingdom and also underscores the sense in which the sower does not make the kingdom happen by force of will or based on the eloquence or his abilities. You know, sometimes it's good to have an eloquent pastor, right? But it's not him. It's not her, it's not, but is the work of the Holy Spirit. But of course, people may say, does this parable teach us to be lazy? No, no, it doesn't teach us to be lazy. But you are not the person who has got the power of the produce. Yours is to plant, yours to be a worker, but you are not going to have those products. Now, the kingdom of God starts off small and grows of itself, independent of our tricks, trends, and temporary. It grows in ways we cannot see or cannot know until it breaks forth from the ground and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. Big enough for people to come from east and west and north and south, from left to right, from uptown to downtown, to sit at the table together. So the kingdom comes to overtake and to take over and to transform the kingdoms of this world. And it gives us the hope. A hope that will entice and prod and poke you into working towards the vision of the kingdom of God he proclaims. Hope is like that. You see, it doesn't just cheer you, but it moves you into action. Perhaps at times we think our preaching is in vain. Maybe we believe the soil or the seed has gone bad, so the field will soon be left to fallow. We are afraid our efforts and our talents aren't big enough for the harvest we need. Yes, we are right. We aren't. We are not. The good news here is, though is the harvest isn't dependent on our efforts, the seed grows without us. But the seed will still need to be sown, and that's our responsibility. The mustard seed or the mustard plant here is an annual. It requires sowing to populate the earth. But the promise of its potential life remains in the power of the seed, not the power of the sower. You know, one of the things that Jesus' parables point to us is for us to be able to see the larger vision. And what is it that we see in this parable this morning. And certainly, our two parables for today help us to understand just that. No one can anticipate what the harvest might be at the time seeds are sown and scattered on the ground. Even the sower does not know how it happens. But when the grain is ready, it is harvested. So this is where it is important that we see that things happen, but we do not know how. We simply trust they do. And the mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, does not reveal, when first seen, the size and scope of the plant that will grow. Yet it becomes a great bush sheltering other of God's creatures in its branches. But what we see in these stories, it reveals that the kingdom of God comes without our working on it and quite outside of our anticipated outcomes, and yet it comes anyway. My dear siblings, God is at work, even when we don't see where or how or why. And the outcome is much grander than we could have imagined. Of course, this is God's very being that it is described. God is gracious, giving the gift of the harvest and kingdom alike, and extravagant, as both come in abundance. God looks beyond the self, providing produce for the farmer and the shed for the nesting birds. God is connected to the creation, renewed and restored. And God is active, involved in the unfolding of the kingdom, even when we don't see or get it. And now, and those birds that are attracted on the shed, mind you, we read this chapter. Let's imagine again the parable of the sower that we talked about sometime. Maybe now these are the birds that are found in these shrubs that will come and snatch the seeds, you know, which the farmer has planted. And sometimes we begin also to put people in those categories as those some bad birds that come and snatch the seeds from our flowers, from our gardens, and from our fields. These birds might be the undesirables, the folks that the decent people avoid, the ones we prefer to keep on the other side of our street and preferably outside our homes. Yet Mark's gospel is just these people who flock to the kingdom Jesus proclaims. But now, what is our role in this case? Should we just sleep? Should we just ignore? What is our role in this case? But the parable continues. When the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle because the harvest has come. At once he goes in, now in the active agents of the farmer comes to the forefront in gathering and harvest that the earth has produced. And that's our role for the harvest. The farmer may not know how it has come to be, but once it is there, it is the farmer's work to gather it in. And in the breaking rain of God, our work is not to make it happen. Our work is to see where God is making it to happen and to join in. So the harvest is coming, my dear friends, and it will not be our own making or doing, but we get to bring it in. And on that day, we will know just how those seeds were sown, grew in people's hearts, sprouted in communities, and bloomed across the world. We will marvel at all the ways the preaching and the hearing of the good news brought hope, peace, justice, and joy and love. And we'll wonder when it happened and how it happened. Now, my dear friends, Did you know, Kathleen, as you lead the worship service, small seeds are planted? Did you know, Natalie, when you chair the council, the small seeds are planted? Did you know, Imogen and Bruce, when as you press your fingers on the keypads of your piano, small seeds are planted? Raya and John, as you represent at GBIO, small seeds are planted. Did you know, Evelyn, as you visit those who are homebound and in hospital, small seeds are planted? What about Eddie Booker? As you put together those little figures in the books of accounts, small seeds are planted. What about Gail and River? As you take the Eucharist to those who are homebound, small seeds are planted. And Chris Polari, as you raise the banners in the sanctuary, small seeds are planted. Let's think of Jonathan, as you give the key to the choir to praise and worship, small seeds are planted. Let's think of David Hogland, as you bring the survey of the call committee, small seeds are planted. So the list is endless. All of us, we are doing small works and we are planting the small seeds in some way, and the harvest will be amazing. In the little corner that you live and do, we are doing the amazing job of planting the seeds. Now, my dear friends, Jesus said, and I want you to listen to this, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter the seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. Thanks be to God. In the name of God, our Father, who creates us, redeems us, sustains us, and hopes for our wholeness. May he bless us all. Amen.